Matthew chapter 26, look in verse 11. The Lord Jesus, he says, "For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always." You can be seated tonight. We find in that same passage of Scripture, we find in Mark chapter 14 and verse 7, "For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me you have not always." And so this past week and the past few weeks, the question has arose with more than one person. What is our, as a church and as a Christian, what is our responsibility to the poor? And you think you've got that thing figured out if you ain't careful. And the only thing that I knew to do was to go to the book to find out. Because inside this book is where we're going to find all our answers and our responsibility to the poor. Can I tell you tonight, church, that in this book we find all the answers that we need to have for our whole life. Amen. I mean, this book will give us instruction no matter what. And you know, as I read this thing, you would think out of all the years of knowing how to deal with the poor that I would have known exactly 100% how to do this here and do that there and do this. But you know, as I read, I learned some things. And it's amazing what my pastor always used to say, if you'll read, it'll clear up a lot of problems. And so as I read and as I studied what the Bible says, what the Lord Jesus Christ had to say, and that about the poor, I began to learn about what our responsibility is and what it is not. As I got ready for this, I called a bunch of preacher friends of mine. I called people that I knew that was on benevolence committees at their church. And I said, "How do y'all handle this and that and all these things?" And out of all those questions that I asked, I always got the same two answers back from either a preacher friend of mine or somebody that's on a benevolence committee. They said two things that rung true every time. They said every case is different. They said you can't put everybody together in one thing and try to treat everybody the same. And they said, and here was the next thing that always caught my attention. Every one of them said, "I would rather miss it trying to help somebody as to miss it when I needed to help them and we didn't help them." I remember one preacher friend of mine, I called him just the other day, and he said, "I'm going to tell you, Brother Mark," he said, "I would rather stand at the judgment seat of Christ and give an answer as to why I helped somebody when I shouldn't have, as to give an answer of why I didn't help somebody when I should have." And I thought, boy, now that's a good thing to look at. Now, I'll be honest with you. There are times that we're going to find that we're not to help people. But that is very few and far between, I find, most of the time. And we're going to deal with that tonight. Let me say that, first of all, quickly, by way of introduction, the purpose of this church is not to be a soup line. The purpose of the church tonight is to sow the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our main thing, and that ought to be in that, to promote the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we can get folks saved, listen, that's what will make all the difference in their life tonight. Jesus Christ coming into my heart, listen, He made the difference tonight. When He come into your heart, if you're saying, by the way, if you're not saved tonight, I want you to know He loves you and died for you, and you can get saved tonight. Amen. But what is our responsibility? Jesus told them in John chapter 6, He had just fed the 5,000 over there in John chapter 6, and He had fed them, and after He had fed them, He left and went across the Sea of Galilee. That's a time when He walked on the water, and they feared, and He drug Peter. You know, Peter said, "Lord, if it's You, bid me come," and he went, and he began to sink, and it was all that time, and after that, they landed on shore where they needed to be, and people chased Him down to find Him. And in John chapter 6, here's what Jesus said. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." He told the people, he said, look, he said, you're not coming after me because of some spiritual need, not because of the miracles which were the spiritual. He said, because of the loaves which filled you. He said, that's why you're following me. But here's what he said. He said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. We're to help people that are in need. But I'm going to be honest with you. Until we can get them saved, that's their greatest need tonight. The Lord, when he fed the 5,000 over there, he fed them because they were hungry. If you go back and you look, the Bible said he looked out over there and he saw a bunch of people out there and he seen the need of them. And you know what he done? He asked Philip. He said, Philip, he said, what are we going to do? And Philip got to looking at the budget and he said, all we've got is 200 penny worth. And he said, that's not even enough to buy that everybody can get a little. But you know, the Lord wasn't concerned about the budget. He was looking for that boy, wasn't he? I mean, there was a little boy over there that had, what, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, is that right? And the Bible said he blessed it and he broke it. And then they took up baskets full when the Lord got down. You know, the Lord can do more than what me and you can ever think about tonight. He ain't concerned about a budget. I think we need to be wise and good stewards, and we're going to see that in a minute. I believe that, but listen, God gets out of our realm of thinking a lot of times, and he'll do things that is beyond what we can ever imagine tonight. But what is our responsibility? 3 things I want to look in. What is our responsibility to the poor tonight? Now let me say, we draw all our authority from the Bible. And we draw our final authority from the Bible. It's not what I think or what you think tonight. It's what the Bible says tonight. I think, first of all, number one, there's that word. I see, first of all, tonight. Number one is that we're to be good stewards in what God's gave us. The word steward means one who has been placed to manage or superintend the concerns and the affairs of another. It means to manage. A preacher, if you go and look in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he's considered a steward. We've been put in charge, and that of the gospel. I don't ever want to get far, far away from the gospel. It's the gospel that changes folk. It's the gospel that makes folk into good men and good women. Listen, and not only that, but it makes them saved and makes them a Christian and that in the Lord. But a steward is one tonight who has been placed in charge of what somebody else has tonight. Take your Bible and look with me in Matthew chapter 25 for just a minute. Flip back a chapter. In Matthew chapter 25, look in verse 14. He said, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants. Now notice that. I've got that underlined in my Bible. His own servants. He didn't call somebody else's servants. He called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, and to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2 had also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with him. Now, I want you to understand, in being a good steward, there's always coming a day that things are going to be reckoned. In other words, there's coming a day that we're going to have to answer for what we did or we didn't do with what the Lord gave us charge of. So now you need to keep that in mind tonight, that it's being a good steward in what God has gave us. There is a reckoning day somewhere along the line. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. So what did he do? He took the 5 talents he had, he traded more, and traded around and got 5 talents. He's got 10 when he's done. And so we know, he goes on. He says, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. You read on down through here. The one that had 2, traded around, got 2 more. And he said the same thing. But then he which had, in verse 24, had received 1 talent, came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And he called him, if you look, he said, thou wicked and slothful servant. He goes on to tell him, he said, you should have took it and put it to the exchangers. And at least when I would have come, I would have had my usury. In other words, you should have put it in the bank, gained interest on it. And when I come back, at least I'd have had more than when I give you when I left. So he put him in charge of this money. So he put him in charge of this. Can I say tonight that as a church, that the money that we have, it lays in our ability and in our work to distribute it as we see fit. It does. The work cannot go on without money. I say that, I hate to tell you that. We can't pay the bills if we don't have money. Listen, we don't have to be on the radio. I understand that. I know that. Listen, I don't have to be full time. I even realize that. I can go back to work if I have to. I know that. But there comes a time, friend, that we have to understand as a church the responsibility that God's gave us with that money. You know, this plate, we take it lightly. Sometimes I was afraid the felt might fall out of that one. It's glued in there. That's good. All right. We got one felt to fall out of if we ain't careful. Guess we need to spend some money or on some glue. I was about to say on some new plates, but it'd be cheaper just to put glue in there, wouldn't it? Amen? See, you got to be a wise servant, you know. It's cheaper to buy the glue than the plates, you know. You see where I'm getting at? Boy, you get talking about money, it'll be okay. It can be lighthearted tonight if you want it to be. But I want you to understand that this thing is serious. I think we need to be sober when we start talking about money in promoting the gospel. And in giving and taking care of folk that need to be took care of. The Lord said we're always going to have the poor. And so there must be a faithfulness to the steward. The church tonight is the steward. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he said, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We need to be faithful in whatever we're going to do. We need to be faithful to the Lord to do it and to do it right. And the only way to know what to do is to find it in God's Word. So tonight, we're to be good stewards. Number 2, I'm talking about our responsibility to the poor. Then there is a giving to the poor. Somebody that is poor tonight is destitute of property or needy. As I talked to a friend of mine who had been over to the Philippines, he spent 2 weeks over there back before Christmas. He said, now them people are poor. He said, you go over there and they're living in shanties and everything else. He said, they're poor. And he said, it's hard to convince them that we're the poor people over here. He said, it's hard to convince them of that. In comparison, you know, somebody said, and I don't know how true this is, it sounds real good, but said, if you live in America and got a job, you're in the top 1% of the whole world. I can believe that. I don't know if that's true or not, but it sounds good, don't it? I mean, in the grand scheme of things, we live in our little part of the town, and we only see what we see. But I'm going to tell you tonight, friends, these people that are poor tonight. I mean, there's people out there that ain't got nothing. And I mean nothing. I mean, these people, there's people, and I know some people choose to live on the street, but there's some people that wants to live in a house. There's some people that wants to have a good family. There's some people that wants things to go their way and have a good life, but for whatever reason, it ain't. But we're to give to the poor. The Bible said in Exodus chapter 22, he said, if thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as an usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him any usury. Now, as the Lord is first laying out to the children of Israel, they're just now leaving Egypt. And one of the first things he deals with, he deals with the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, and two chapters later, he's dealing with how to treat your poor brother. He tells him, he says, if you lend money. So in other words, somebody that's poor is doing without. And he says, if you lend to the poor, one of the things he said, don't charge him usury. Take your Bible tonight and go to the book of Deuteronomy 15. Now my Sunday school class has already heard some of this. I've been teaching on what to do with your money. We've been teaching on riches. And so we've been looking at the good side of riches. And one of the things that we looked at this morning, when you help the poor, when you help your poor brother, let's say that, is the Lord told them not to charge usury. Verse 7, Deuteronomy 15, if there be any among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him naught, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. Thou shalt surely give, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works, and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Now notice, in this scripture, he uses the word lend. He's talking about given. And as we've seen before in Exodus 22, he says, you don't give on usury. If you want to lend to your brother out of where he's going to pay you back, you don't give on usury. Right? I mean, there's times, you know, I use this morning. If Hunter comes to me and he says, hey, I need $200, I will repay you. Okay? Want to take out a loan? That's fine. Then $200 is all you owe me. Right? I mean, ain't that what you say? You know what? Let me park here for just a minute and talk about the poor for just a second. Did you know that we're just a few hospital bills of being away from being destitute? Now we all better get that in our mind, that we're just a few hospital bills of being broke and busted and ain't got much. Because I'm going to be honest with you, the hospital bills, they won't give up on you, friend. I'll be honest. They'll try to settle with you, but they ain't going to quit, amen, until they get some things settled. And so what I'm saying, we're not too good, I guess is what I'm saying. You say, well, I don't have $200 to lend. Then do what you can. And I'll deal with that here in a minute. But listen, it's not always lending, okay? But he talks about lending. He says, if you're going to give, and here under the law, listen, in the seventh year, you know, it was a year of release. And what that was going to do was going to turn that loan, it was going to go free. And he said, don't say the seventh year is coming on and I'm going to loan this money. And let's say it was in the sixth year and there was 10 months left. And you're going to say, well, he's only got, or she's only got 10 months to pay me back all this. And there's no way that I'll get my money back. He said, don't worry about getting your money back. He said, don't worry about that. He said, look, he said, what, let's go back up here. Let me see, in verse 10, thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works, and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto. The Bible said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. I've been on both ends of that thing. I would far rather give than have to be the one being given to. I'd rather have the ability to give. Matthew chapter 6, take your Bible and go over there. And the Bible here in Matthew 6 is talking about almsgiving. And that is talking about giving to the poor. That is the collection for the poor. We really take up our tithes and offerings. And part of our offerings is our mission offering. And out of our tithes and regular offerings goes, we use that to support some of the poor. So in Matthew chapter 6, and you say, well, I don't have a lot to give. I'll deal with that here in just a minute. Matthew chapter 6, look in verse 1. He said, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou dost alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So in giving to the poor, I read this tonight. One, we don't make a big to-do about what we give. We don't make a big deal about the tithes that we give and the offerings that we give, and we say that we're going to help the poor and all these things. Listen, we don't make a big to-do out of it, because if we do and somebody praises us in it, then we've got our reward now. But the Bible said right here that there would be a blessing in that thing, because the Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Now I really tonight believe that, church. I believe the scripture over there in the book of, First Corinthians, I believe it is, where Paul talks, where he talks about in chapter 9, where he talks about he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, but he that soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. He's talking about money right there. He's talking about taking up the offering, and he's literally talking about money, and he says, if you will sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. Some people are very stingy with their money. Say, I don't have a lot. Lord don't require a lot, does he? He requires 10%. 10% of 100 is 10. 10% of 1,000 is 100. It works out pretty easy that way. I want to show you something. Take your Bible and go to Mark chapter 12. I know this is a little different preaching tonight than I normally preach, but I want us to get a hold of something. Because I'm going to tell you, our church needs the blessing of the Lord, and you need the blessing of the Lord in your home. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. What's he say? And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. I believe that's a half a penny. I think. Don't you quote me on that, but I believe it was. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily, I say unto you that this... Now look what your Bible says. Look what your Bible says. That this poor widow hath cast in more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in, of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Jesus said, out of everybody that gave that day, He said, everybody out of their riches and out of their abundance, they gave. But said, this poor widow woman that come, and he said she was poor. Said she came and cast in 2 mites, which just was a little bit of nothing, but that's all she had. The Lord said, out of all her living, basically this is all she had left, and she was willing to give it because she wanted to give. You reckon she had ever been helped before? You ever been helped by somebody? I have. You ever been in time of need, needed help? Wasn't you glad that there was some help to be had? I mean, I'll be happy to tell you, man. I'm telling you, when you need help, you're always glad to see it coming. Amen. I mean, whether it's monetarily, whether it's physically, I've been on all sides of it. Man, you're just glad to see it. When you get it. Psalms chapter 41. I'll give you some general scriptures of taking care of the poor. He said, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in his time of trouble. Proverbs 14. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Proverbs 19, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. You know everything that I learned about giving to the poor when I studied this is the Lord would bless us. I mean, I sat down and I looked at this in every scripture that it is just like one right after another. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, Proverbs 28. But he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. Well, say, preacher, we don't have to have discernment. I ain't there yet. Stay with me now. Don't lose me yet. I'm talking about people that are poor. I'm not talking about people that are taking advantage of us. I'm talking about people that are poor. There's poor people. There's people that honestly need help. Right? I mean, there's poor. Hey, the Bible said in 1 John chapter 3, hereby perceive we the love of God. Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwell the love of God in him? There was a stipulation on that right there. He said, if you had this world's good, if you had the capability and the ability to help, then you were to help. If this church has the capability and the ability to help, we were to help. If we do not have that ability, then we cannot help. Right? God ain't going to look on us and frown on us if we don't have the ability to do it. But we do what we can. Now, under the law, the Lord made arrangements for the poor. What do you mean he made arrangements? In Leviticus chapter 19, and when you reap your harvest of the land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of the harvest, and thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard, thou shalt leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. He said, when you go out at harvest time, He said, and another time, I believe it was in the book of Deuteronomy, he talks about the olive trees and what we can turn them in. But he says, when you go out there at harvest time, he said, don't glean every corner. If you drop a sheaf, he said, in the book of Deuteronomy, he said, don't pick it up. He said, you leave it where it sits. And he said, they can come through and work for themselves and get it. The Lord likes people that works. Do you know that? He does. He likes people that work. Now, there's some people that cannot work. There's some people that won't work, but there's some people that cannot work. Their health will not let them. They do not have the ability to work. Listen, that's just people you got to take care of and people you got to help. Listen, this thing's messed up today. It never was the federal government's responsibility to take care of the people. It never was. All that the federal government is responsible for is to maintain and add a good army and a good navy and to make sure that we have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's what the federal government's there for. But it was never to take care of the poor. Never where do you find in this Bible where it was to be instituted where there was supposed to be a government and that to take care of the poor. That was always the job of the church. That, by the way, that's also the job of the family. I'll get there in just a second, okay? The church is not charged all the time to take care of the poor, by the way. You'll find that there's families supposed to handle that. But we'll get there in just a second. I'm talking about God left them out there. He told them, he said, look, he said, when you glean your field, he said, when you have harvest, don't glean everything. Don't take everything out of your field. You remember in the book of Ruth, chapter 2, they'd come back out of the land of Moab. They come up there, and remember in Ruth, chapter 2, Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabite, said unto Naomi, let me now go out to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. What was she doing? She was doing what the law said to do. They didn't have anything to eat. They didn't have what they needed. But it was harvest time. It's barley harvest. The Bible said, and she was going to go and glean in the field. She's going to go to work to get what she needed. Work was involved. There are those who cannot work, and I've already dealt with that. There are those who will not work. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much bring it again to his mouth. Proverbs 20 said, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. An able-bodied man or woman that has nothing, and they can go to work and they're simply lazy and won't go to work and won't do. A friend of the Bible said that they're going to beg come harvest time. You know something, and I'll deal with discernment here in just a second. But you know, when I looked at all this, and I studied and I looked, and if you can find it, you help me and you show it to me. Okay? But never one time did I find in that scripture where the Lord said, now you look at them and see what made them poor. I'm going to be honest with you. These Baptists, or at least as the way I think sometimes, we want to look at why people need help. Well, if they wouldn't have made them bad investments, or you know, if he wouldn't have married her, she'd have never took him for what he was worth, and if she wouldn't have married him, it'd have never ended up the way that it did, and all this mess would have never happened, and if they wouldn't have went down this road, that would have never took place, and they'd have never been poor to start with. And never one time did I find in scripture where God said, ask them how they got where they're at. He ain't concerned about how they got there. He's concerned about the now. Right? You know, anytime Jesus fed people, he never asked them how they got in that shape. He didn't set them up in a mansion. Unless they got saved. You get saved, you get set up in a mansion, by the way. Amen. That ought to make you shout right there for a little while. We ought to just take a little time and shout for just a minute or two. But you know, he never did. When he fed people, he never asked them why they didn't have something to eat. He just fed them. He didn't give them $100. He didn't give them $1,000. He met their physical need at the nail. I think sometimes, and it's good to chase something down, and again, I'll come to discernment here in a minute. I think sometimes we try to fix people's problems before we need to get to their... Let me put it to you like this. If somebody's sitting there hungry, and I mean hungry. You ever been hungry? I mean truly hungry. Now, people that are truly hungry. Paul said, he said at one point, I know how to be hungry and I know how to be full. Paul knew how to be hungry. And what I mean by that, there was times that Paul was hungry. He had done without. Listen, I had to go from Monday to Thursday one time without food when I was having surgery. They had to do tests on me and I couldn't eat. And after I had them tests done, then they were going to do surgery the next day. And so it was from Monday until Thursday till I ate. You know, that's a long time for a fat boy. I'll be honest with you. That's a long time for your preacher not to eat. And I'll just be honest with you. I was hungry. But you know, even after all that, even when I knew that I was going to get to eat. Now I'm talking about being poor and hungry. I'm not talking about poor and giving somebody $1,000. I'm talking about somebody being poor and giving them something to eat. That's what I'm talking about. Okay? We're not going to be able to set them up, but we are going to be able to get them through. But you know, you try to talk to somebody about the blessed gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and they're sitting there starving to death, they ain't going to listen. But you meet their physical need and then you begin to work on their spiritual need. Jesus always did. If there was a physical need there, he met their physical need. The Bible said in Galatians chapter 6, you know there's poor saved people. I told you, we're just hospital bills away. You know when they took my colon out, or part of my colon, I keep saying when they took my colon out, they took part of my colon out. That's a little scary when they take it all out. Amen. But when they took, you know what the hospital bill was on that long? It's $56,000. You know what my out-of-pocket expense maxed out on my health insurance at the time? $4,000. So by the time that I, that whole year, you know what I paid that whole year? $4,000. Now for some people, that's an astronomical amount. I'll be honest with you, for me and my wife, that wasn't an easy amount to make, $4,000. But $4,000 was sure a lot better than $56,000. And that was just the hospital bill, let alone the surgery bill and all the test bills and all those things that had to be paid. Imagine if somebody had to pay all that stuff. And I know hospitals will reckon with you and all that things. But the Bible says in Galatians 6, he says, as we have therefore opportunity. See, there it is again, if we have opportunity. He said, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now this may sound bad, but I believe this is the way it is. Saved people comes first. I believe God expects us to take care of saved people. Not that he don't care for the world and those things, and we'll take care of them too. But he said if you've got enough to do one or the other, he said if you can do good, you do good to all men. But he said you especially do good to them that are saved. That's what he's saying. You say, well, that's a little slight and a little... Hey, listen, that's what he said. And I think that's what we ought to do tonight. You know, in the church, he gives instruction and direction for things. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, he talks about taking care of widows. You know that it is the responsibility of this church to take care of our widows that are inside the church if they need to be took care of. Take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5. I want you to see something. Now we're talking about taking care of them who are the household of faith. If they're saved people that need help, we're to take care of them. He talks about taking care of the widow. 1 Timothy chapter 5, look in verse 3. He said, honor widows that are widows indeed. Now he said, all right, widows. That is one that had been married and her husband has died. But he said, if she's a widow indeed. So he said, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and requite their parents, for that this is good and acceptable before God. He said, all right. He said, you honor widows that are widows indeed. You take care of them. You see what they need. But he said, if they've got children, if they've got sons, or they've got children or nephews. Now, I'm telling you, it gets way out there, don't it? Said, if they've got children or nephews, said, then you let them take care of them. And we'll go on a little bit more, okay? Now, she that is a widow indeed. So he begins to lay out the definition of a widow indeed. He said, now she that is a widow indeed and desolate, she's poor, and trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day, and she liveth, let me move on right here. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 60, that's 60, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. Look in verse 16. And then he said, if any man or woman that believeth, talking about saved people, have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. So there's stipulations here, even in helping widows. He says, look, you know, we use this right here in verse 8, but if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. We talk about that like if a man don't go to work and he don't supply for his house, then he's worse than an unbeliever. And that is true. That scripture will stand on its own. But the text inside the context is dealing with taking care of widows. And he said if the family, if the sons or the children or the nephews does not take care of them, if they have the ability to take care of them, then they're worse than an infidel if they won't do it. If you go over to verse 16, he said, if any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. So it would not become the responsibility of the church at that point. He gives the definition of what makes a widow indeed. You realize that's why a deacon's office was established, was to help take care of widows there in the book of Acts. Was it the Grecian widows that was being neglected in the daily ministration? Ain't that what the Bible said in the book of Acts over there? That's why the office of a deacon was even founded in give. But we're to give. We're to give to the poor. Now, you want me, You want me to really blow your mind? It's not only the responsibility of this church, but it's the responsibility of every Christian. If somebody comes to you or you see somebody in need and you have the ability to help, you're help. That's what's scary. You say, well, I've worked for everything I've got. Listen, if you're saved and God's blessed you and you have the ability to help, I'm going to encourage you to help. One, because Scripture says so. But two, Scripture also says that He would bless us in our need if we'd done that. I don't think we'd do that. But then number three, then we have to guard our giving. And what I mean by that is we ain't able to help everybody, nor should we help everybody. We have to have discernment on who to help. And what I mean by discernment, the word discern means to see the difference between two things. It means to discover and see. It means to understand. And our discernment is going to come from the Lord and out of this book right here. The Bible said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, He said, for even when we were with you, this we command you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. So we have to discern. You know, the Lord said if we give to the poor, we're doing a good thing. But yet He says over here, if a man don't work, he don't eat. Now that's a little hard to weigh out sometimes, ain't it? Ain't that right? I'm being honest tonight. That thing is hard to get a hold of sometimes. When to help and when not to help. You know, the Lord might be trying to do something over here. See, I'm determined, and you may disagree with me right here, but I'm determined that if somebody gave the prodigal son a bucket of chicken, he may not have ever went home. See, it's when he got down in the hog pen and would have feigned himself to eat what the hogs were eating down there. That's when he looked up. That's when he said, hey, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against the Father. But if somebody was down there, the Bible said no man would give to him. The greatest thing that ever happened to him was no man would ever give to him. Now do you see the issue at hand? When do you give and when do you not give? Let me tell you a little story. I mean, Kelly was, it's been 2 years ago now, I guess. We were going into the steakhouse out here at Athens. And I might have told you the story, but I'll tell it again. And I should have known I was getting baited. I should have known, but I didn't. And so as we were coming out, you know, we were parked on a little bit on the upper side up there toward the old Kmart and was walking down through there. And there was a feller come walking around the corner of the steakhouse. And he seemed like a nice feller, good feller. We struck up a conversation. He said, how are you all doing tonight? Doing fine. What do you always say after somebody asks you how you're doing? You always say, doing fine. And then you inevitably say, how are you doing tonight? There's where I got baited at. So he began to tell me how he was doing tonight. And he sung me a sad story and all these things. They didn't have no groceries. Him and his wife and little girl was living in a hotel down next to the interstate. And it's about to get kicked out. And they needed some grocery money and all this. And I'm standing there and I'm thinking. And so I just reach in my pocket and I pull out a $20 bill and I give it to him. Now that might not have been the smartest thing to do, but that's what I done. And I said, he said, I'm going to go right over here to the Walmart and I'm going to buy us some groceries. I said, that's fine. Now let me tell you something. When you give that money in good faith, now you got to be smart. You got to be a good steward. You got to have some discernment. But when you give it and it's gave, then you've got to assume that they're going to do what they said they were going to do with it. Because if you worry yourself to death about that they're going to do something else with it, you're going to wear yourself out. So I give him that 20, and he said, all right. So he took that 20 and he said, hey, can you help us get another night in the hotel down there? And I'll be honest with you, church. It was as plain as I'm standing here now and talking to you. The Holy Spirit smote my heart and said, don't you give him no more money. I mean, just like that. And I said, well, we'll see what we can do. And because I really didn't know if it was me or the Lord. I was trying to figure things out. I was trying to have some discernment about things. And me and Kelly, we went in and we ate. And I said, now what we're going to do while we're eating is we're going to sit here and we're going to pray. And I knew better. I mean, it's okay to pray, but when you already know what you should or shouldn't do, praying ain't going to change things. Might give you an easier mind about things. And I prayed the whole time. I don't even know if we said four words to while we were sitting there eating or not. But I prayed the whole time that I was sitting there eating. And I could never get peace on giving him any more money. And it bothered me so much. I picked on the way home. We drove separate to town. And for whatever reason, I remember calling my sister at that time. She was helping run the homeless shelter up there in Maryville. And I called her and I said, sis, I said, I've never had the Holy Spirit do me this way before in trying to help somebody. And she said, oh, yes. She said, many times. She says, I've had that. Because, I mean, she's dealt with people like that. She says, the Lord knows what's going on. So he's got discernment. We may not understand what's going on the backside, but I'm going to be honest with you. If we would just take a little time to stop and pray and say, Lord, do I need to, I know that we're supposed to help. I know that, you know, Lord, he never did rebuke me for giving him that $20 for groceries. I never felt bad about that. I still don't feel bad about that. I don't know if he spent it on groceries, but I don't feel bad about it. Like I say, we've got to have some spiritual discernment. If we know somebody is going to take that money and buy booze or dope, if they're going to go do something with it that they said they're not going to do with it, then we're a bad steward if we give it away. I mean, we're just a bad steward. We're not having good discernment. But do I think the Lord wants us as a Christian and as a church to help people? Yes. Do I think we have to have discernment? Yes. But I would rather err on the side of good. I'll just be honest with you, I would. After studying this and looking at it. And you know what? I think people need to understand how hard it is to get money and to work for money. I think everybody does that. But you know, when we give it, we ought to give it cheerfully and not begrudgingly. I think a lot of it comes and shows to the maturity and the seriousness of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. No, I don't want to help somebody buy booze and drugs and for them to take it and waste it. And if I know that's what they're going to do, I'm not going to give it. I'm not going to give them my money, nor are we going to give them the church's money. If somebody needs groceries, then we can buy them groceries. If somebody needs gas, well, I've went many times down to the gas station in the middle of the day and just pumped people's gas on my own credit card so that they'd have it. We've done a lot. I won't say a lot. We've done some. A lot would say that we've done a lot, but I guess we've done some. But we have to be careful. We you see how hard this thing gets sometimes. You say it's not cut and dry all the time. It's like that little girl come up here. I'm going to tell this and I'm going to close, okay? We were leaving church one night, and Brother Jeff's sister Beverly ain't here tonight, but she pulls up in this car and parks right out here, and it's just about me and Jeff and Sister Beverly and my wife are left. And Zeke's just a little at this time. He's just a little bitty fella. I don't know if Bethany would remember this. She might have been gone at that time. Done went somewhere. I don't know. But I remember this girl. She pulled up. She's probably in her late 20s, and she was telling a good story. She was talking about how her little boy has heart problems. And the valves are reversed in his heart. And begins to tell about how her car broke down. And I believe it was Cookville. And how a tow company out of Madisonville. And she told the name. And we know the name. And told the name of the driver. And sure enough, come to find out, that feller worked for the tow company. I mean, man, she had a great story. Said he come over here, picked us up, brought us back. As a matter of fact, this is their car, rented us this car so that we could have it. And so, Jeff, this was a great thing. If there was ever a time that Jeff knew heart doctors, this was a good thing. Because this lady begins to talk about the heart doctors. And Jeff said, well, that's funny. And he didn't say this to her, but he told me this later. He said, those were Zeke's heart doctors up at Knoxville. And she referred to them as he in the male pronoun. Both of them heart doctors were females. Now, begins to throw a little red flag up right here. See, I'd give her what she needed. Man, she was singing a good song. But see, when you begin to have a little discernment about some things. See, Jeff knew something. I didn't know none of this stuff. I mean, the Lord just put him there so that he could listen to it, you know. And so the more we talked to her, the more holes just started getting punched in her story. She had a good story, but the more you just stood there and talked to her, the more you found out that that wasn't the truth. We asked if, you know, was there any paperwork in her car where it had been wrenched? She said, oh, no, there ain't no paperwork on that car. Well, who's going to wrench you a car without any paperwork? You got a driver's license? Could we make a copy of your driver's? We'll give you the money. She wanted $400 or something. I can't remember. If you'll just let us copy your... Oh, I ain't got my driver's license. We said, it's at home. I'll go get it and come back. Okay. So in the meanwhile, we called the towing company, the man who owned the towing company, and he said, yeah, I've got a fella by that name that works for me. Said, if you want to call him, you can call him at home. Here's his number. And so we called him, and he said, nope, I didn't go get no girl. As a matter of fact, when we talked to the fella that towed or that owned the car, the towing company, he said, I don't rent cars. Now, how good of a steward would we have been? How much discernment? You know, it didn't take a whole lot to have discernment in that whole situation. She was saying the story to take advantage of the church. Now, knowing what we know, what I'm trying to say is the Lord gave us discernment on that standing right out there in that parking lot. If you want discernment on what to know to do, He'll help you. It's right to help people who are in need. And somebody even made this statement, and I would dare agree with it. If they take advantage of you, the Lord will put an end to it. But if we know that we're going to get taken advantage of, that's not good discernment. That's not being a good steward of God's money. But if somebody is in need, it's our responsibility to see to it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you for the wonderful mercy and grace that you've given us. We thank you for helping us tonight. Lord, I have learned much in studying this. I've learned much in to know how to have the attitude to deal with this situation. That, Lord, you've blessed me and blessed this church beyond what we could ever imagine. And, Lord, those that are truly in need, we do need to see to and take care of. And, Lord, I know you'll give us discernment on the rest. But we just got to trust you. Lord, do help us to pray and seek you before we enter into anything like that. But Lord, thank you for your blessings that you've given us. Lord, thank you most of all for your Son who loved us and died for us so that we could be saved. Lord, if there's somebody in this house tonight that is not saved, I pray they'd get saved tonight. We want to tell you that we love you and we thank you. Let's keep our heads bowed tonight if we would. Jacob, would you give us just a little music tonight, son? If you need to come and pray, if God's spoke to your heart about anything tonight. I know this has been an unusual message, but listen, if the Lord spoke to you about anything, I want you to come. If you're lost, I certainly want you to come and get saved tonight.